For days, Bloomington neighbors have been looking up. It's hard to see at first, but a close look reveals Mittens, the cat, stuck in a tree about 70 feet up. Enter Brady. Throughout the week, other tree climbers tried but failed to rescue Mittens. But Brady climbed higher and worked harder.
Kitty, 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 kitty. Brady's my hero.
Terrible.
Kitty, 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 kitty.
Terrible.
Kitty, 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 kitty,
Well, hello and welcome to the world. It's a terrible place here on Radio Free Brooklyn, bringing you the very best and the very worst.
We pay attention to the news so you don't have to ever at all.
Ever at all. I'm Ariel Speedwagon.
I am Cassie Wagler.
And we are so happy to be with you here today on this rainy, rainy day, at least here in New York City.
It is very, very rainy, which I kind of like, I have to say, even though I don't have an umbrella. Because I lent it to someone and they didn't give it back to me.
It's totally the umbrella economy of New York, right? You lend some, you lose some, you borrow some, you gain some.
And then sometimes you actually buy them and then you still lose them.
I have to say the umbrella I found in my room this morning when I was looking for an umbrella, I have no idea where it came from.
It just came from somewhere. Congratulations.
I mean, it was lucky. That's a nice umbrella. Whoever you are, if you're listening and I have your umbrella, thank you.
You should let me know. I'm not going to give it back to you, but thank you.
I would give it back if someone approached me. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. So what's kind. What's terrible, Ariel?
What's terrible? Well, there's a lot of terrible, but I feel like the terrible I'm licensed to talk about is I've officially, for the first time in a long time, lost some gay points in my life.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I'm allergic to cats. I have to accept this. I was over it.
For shame.
Some dear friends last night, and they have two very cute, very alert, very interesting cats that I love very much, but I'm still sneezing today. I've never been a bad gay before.
You know, Ariel, you are so, so very gay that I think the cat thing is not going to be a huge detraction from your overall like level. I think that you're still on top.
I hope so. I worry. Yeah. I'm not sure what I'm going to have to go chop down the patriarchy with a double-headed axe or something.
You're doing pretty good. I would say that you're doing okay, yeah.
All right. That's good. What's terrible in your life, Cassie?
Terrible is, let's see. Well, I went to Florida this weekend. In fact, all of my news this week will be Florida-themed.
Oh, I know. We have quite a show. Yes, y'all are in for a treat.
Yes. And what was terrible about Florida was many things. There was also some good things, but I went to I was in Orlando and I went to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, was it? I would assume that would be awesome.
I mean, I just didn't know what to expect. I grew up going camping. I never went to that type of thing. And so I was like, oh, we'll just go for like, you know, an hour and a half or something. And it was just like such a scene. Like in order to go through the haunted houses, you had to wait in line for like an hour, you know?
Totally.
And it was like really, really loud, and there was smoke machines everywhere, and it was cool in some ways, but it was like really overwhelming, and you just like spend money and spend money and spend money and spend money and spend money.
Oh my god, of course.
And it was honestly, as much as it was like an interesting experience, it was kind of terrible.
Well, sorry to hear that.
No, I mean like it was fun, but I was like, oh, wow. Like, I was just, like, really, like, flustered at the end because there's so many people. Ah! And, like, also what they do is you just walk around the park and then, like, scary characters come and, like, try to scare you and just jump out everywhere.
Oh, my God. That would be terrible.
And they weren't, like, that scary, but, like, a couple of times they got me and I was just like, oh, God. Anyways.
Ugh.
The end of that.
Terrible.
Terrible. There's a real terrible thing, though, today. Which is that everyone in New York City got text messages today.
Exactly.
Telling us to be on alert for people. And it was, frankly, really terrible. We're going to get to that in our news stories a little bit more. But
exactly. So we have a bunch coming up from you about that. We have a bunch coming up from you from Florida.
Florida.
Exactly. We know it's terrible out there, folks, but thanks for sticking with us. At least we'll pull the highlight reel. The highlight reel of terrible. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Shall we turn to the headlines?
Let's go.
It's a bird. It's a man. It's a lovely girl. It's Florida.
All right, news from Florida. So this weekend, as I mentioned, I was in Orlando, which is where my girlfriend is from, and we were visiting her family. And Orlando, lots and lots, like recently some major national tragedies have happened in Orlando. Obviously, we have the shooting at Pulse Orlando, the gay nightclub there in which 49 people were shot and killed. And then also, I'm not sure that everyone knows this, but Trayvon Martin was shot and killed by George Zimmerman in a suburb of Orlando called Sanford, Florida. And so this town has gone through, you know, just like has been the site of like so much awful. And like the name Orlando has become synonymous with like actually kind of like really bad things. So we were driving around yesterday around Orlando, and all of a sudden my girlfriend's mom points and goes, "Oh, you see that apartment complex? That's where George Zimmerman shot Trayvon Martin." And I was like, "Holy crap, really?" And she's like, "Yeah, look, there's the 7-Eleven." It was just right there. And I was like, "Whoa, wow, okay." And she said, "Well, did you hear the latest news about George Zimmerman?" And I said, "No, I didn't. I don't know what's going on." And she said, "Let me tell you." And she did. And now I'm going to tell you. So, this involves George Zimmerman not being on trial, but someone else being on trial. And that person is named Matthew Apperson. And just on Friday, he was convicted of second-degree murder for trying to kill George Zimmerman. And here's how this whole thing went down. So, it involves two incidents in which the men interacted in their cars on the street. On September 9th, 2014, Apperson approached Zimmerman in his car. And then started to follow him in the car and expressed to him, like, "You shouldn't have killed that boy," basically. And so then after that, Zimmerman is like, "Okay, I've got this guy who tried to follow me," and, you know, like, makes a complaint, etc. Then on May 11, 2015, they see each other again in the street, like, not, you know, orchestrated. They just, and then in this altercation, Apperson shoots into Zimmerman's car. It doesn't hit him. It just lodges into the frame, but it does break a window, and then, you know, Zimmerman gets all cut up on his face with the glass. And Apperson claims that it was actually George Zimmerman who threatened and waved a gun at him first. And Zimmerman says, "I did not show the gun. I had one in the car, but I did not show it, and I did not threaten him." So Apperson is taken to court, and he is convicted on Friday of attempted second-degree murder. He has not been sentenced yet. He will be sentenced on October 17th. So that is the latest with George Zimmerman, who has been in so many legal situations since the Trayvon Martin shooting. And I have to say, I'm kind of a hypocrite about guns, because sometimes I say that gun control is just about social control. But in this instance, I have to say, guns. Blah!
I'm still speechless to everything you just said.
Yeah.
I didn't know about 7-Eleven.
Right. Totally. Yeah, no, it's really intense. It's an intense place to, it's just, there's like a lot of like, "Whoa, that happened here too? Like, oh my God, shit." Anyways, that's the news from George Zimmerman. And back to you, Ariel.
Well, this is a thematic transition, because in the latest in a long, tragic ribbon of black men being shot for being alive by the police, we are mourning today the death of Terrence Crutcher, a brother, son, and father of four, who was shot and killed by the police in Tulsa, in Oklahoma, this past Friday. And with a little bit of a description is Demario Solomon Simmons, who is the attorney from the family, and this is via Tulsa World.
My understanding is that Terrence was leaving school. He was a student at TCC, and that his car had stalled for some reason, don't know why, in the street, and that the police were on another call, and they somehow came upon Terrence, and from that point, I do not know what occurred. I have no idea what occurred. We don't know, and that's what is so difficult for us and the family.
And now, since that statement, it has come out that there was video. There was a dash cam video, as well as there was a police helicopter involved, which also has video, it sounds like. So this was a situation that developed. The police spokesperson who was interviewed at the site of the scene, so right after it happened, said something about how he wouldn't put his hands up when they said, put your hands up. They wouldn't put, he started reaching into his car, despite the fact they told him not to move. And so they had nothing to do but to shoot, which, I don't even know what to do with that and that statement. But also since then, it sounds like from statements released from people who've seen the video that that is not the case, as it's pretty clearly shown by the video. The Tulsa police are set to release the video this afternoon. They said that they wanted to give the family and the attorneys and community members time to see the video first. From all reports, according again to Tulsa World, the people who saw the video are willing to go on record saying that, pretty much saying everything you would expect them to be saying. His hands were in the air. The police helicopter was confirming that his hands were in the air on the radio, but also saying a bunch of racist shit about how he looked like he was a big one and that kind of thing. He was tased and shot almost simultaneously without time to see if the taser had worked. And he was also on the side of the road because his car was broken down, right? And it's just the same story we hear again and again and again with regards to black men and the police. Like, God forbid your car break down. God forbid you want to go on a walk. God forbid you do everything they tell you. There's absolutely no way to be safe, you know? It's just mind-bending. And now, the officer who pulled the trigger and the officer who was along on the call with the taser have both been placed on the routine and paid administrative leave pending the investigation, and protesters are already at the Tulsa County Courthouse, where they are set to remain at least until the video is released, which will be later this afternoon, and one can assume significantly after that. And it'll be interesting to see. In the region of Tulsa, there was a conviction where a volunteer sheriff shot someone unjustly, and he was convicted of I'm not sure if it was off the top, it was actually, if it was, if the charge was in fact murder or some other unjust killing of another human being. And so it'll be interesting to see. The community members are all saying very calm, very clearly, this is a moment for calm. This is a moment to let the system run its course. This is a moment to sort of everything you see when you can expect the video that is going to come out is going to be incendiary. Mm-hmm. And just going to prove that it's yet another man, another black man, yet another human being who, by virtue of what he looks like, has been considered to be disposable.
Thank you.
It's a bird. It's a man. It's a lovely girl. It's Florida.
All right, more news from Florida. So you've probably heard of sinkholes in Florida, but does anyone actually know what a sinkhole is? Do you know what a sinkhole is?
A thing that sunk and made a hole where there wasn't a hole before because something sunk.
That's okay. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Sinkhole, since I read about it on the internet, is basically a hole in the ground, like a cavity in the ground that has a layer on the surface. So I was thinking the analogy of like if there's a coffin in the ground. Sorry, I know.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm with you. I'm with you.
I was trying to think of holes in the ground with covers. But okay, so there's a space in the ground that has carved out space that is not ground, and then there's a cover on top, right? Uh-huh. So it's not just like a pit. It's like a pocket.
Right, because suddenly they open up and then like you're driving along and suddenly a sinkhole opens and it's always like that. And
exactly.
Bah!
Yeah, well, they have... Yeah. Blah, blah. My girlfriend was like, they don't happen that often. I mean, come on. And I was like, whatever. You aren't scared of alligators for some weird reason. So sinkholes, basically, if what's on the top, the weight of the thing on top is too much for that layer of earth to hold it, then it collapses. So gotcha. It has a huge huge relationship to development. And Florida is really different from, let's say, New York, because the water level, the aquifer level, is much closer to the surface. So whereas, like, in New York, we have layers and layers and layers of different types of rock and sediment, et cetera, going down, the water level in Florida is closer to the top. There's just, and also lots of Florida is swampland. And so development in Florida is very precarious and dangerous and not sustainable. So basically, what's happened is that a sinkhole opened up underneath a pit of holding toxic materials from a fertilizer plant. And the sinkhole opened up, and all of the toxic water is rushing into the Florida aquifer. Cool, huh? Pretty great.
Oh, wow.
The company is called Mosaic. It's a Minnesota-based fertilizer company. And basically, you know, they make agricultural products. And part of what happens when you make these fertilizers is that there is a byproduct that's created that's called phosphatidylism. And you put all that toxic water together in what's called a gypsum stack, which is just such a charming word. It's a really sexy word. And that's like a separate sort of pond that is created to hold this toxic water. And so underneath that pond is where the sinkhole opened up. And there it goes. So this was discovered on August 27th by a worker in the Mosaic company, but it was not made public until late last week. And the reason that they said that they didn't make it public was that it posed no risk to the public. And most people, lots of people are like, haha, that's funny. Why would we ever believe you? Like, you're obviously a corporation and you're obviously lying. They did report it to, like, the necessary state agencies. But, you know, at a protest on Saturday, many people said, you know, we just don't trust you. And here's some audio from that.
How can we trust them to be the ones to test our water?
Because they don't want to be sued. They want to protect their own interests. We're tired of sitting back and idly saying, well, I guess that's just the way it's going to be. It doesn't have to be that way.
This is major. This is something that could really affect this community. And I don't think any of us have any idea the ramifications that we're looking at from this.
We want third-party companies who are not affiliated with Mosaic, who have no bias towards Mosaic, and we'll believe those.
Yes. So good suggestion, I think. Yeah. Like, we don't want the company saying, oh, no, it's fine. Like, a third-party tester needs to come in and say, Mosaic has said that they will do water quality testing at anyone's house who wants it. But again, we have the company saying that. It's the company line. And two things that you should know about this company, Mosaic. Number one, just last year, they settled a federal lawsuit with the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, for $2 billion because they had failed to properly contain and operate two other fertilizer plants in Louisiana and Florida. So they have a history of not being up to snuff with their operations. And then also this funny thing on their website, they have this like, the first thing you see on their website is this like headline that says the Mosaic Company Foundations gives $75,000 to aid disaster relief in Louisiana. The Mosaic Company Foundation announced a $50,000 contribution to the Greater Baton Rouge Food Bank and $25,000 to Capital Area United Way to support recovery efforts in response to the flooding. So I just feel like anytime the foundation of a company is giving money to the very area that it is putting toxic sludge water into, you know that something's going on.
And that's $150,000 if I did the math right in my head.
75.
Oh, I mean total.
Total. 75 total.
Oh.
Yeah. 75,000 total.
Oh, I misheard. So that's hilariously small. That's all I'm saying. That's like saying, how much money do you make here? Right. Like, that's like me being like, Ariel Federo gives $4 to support something.
Yes.
Right now.
And I should say that the amount of water, contaminated water going into the aquifer is over 200 million gallons. So really they should give like at least $1 per gallon. I mean, come on.
You would think. This is so funny. There's also, I just remembered when you said there's this huge gas leak also in Alabama, I think, where gasoline was just sort of sneaking out and nobody noticed till some people finally noticed. And all, again, into the water. And I...
water, water. It's all about water right now. I mean, it's really important. I mean, that's a lot of what the stuff about, you know, the protests against the pipeline are about. Yeah. You know?
Yep. And it's the same thing where there's basically the water protectors are saying, shockingly, we don't actually believe that it's going to be cool that you're going to run a pipeline down a major water source for 20 million people and it's just going to be fine.
It's so funny that the companies think that, like, we, that, like, them saying, like, it's no problem, will, like, set us at ease. You're like, why would we have no precedence for that?
Like, please tell me when it's been no problem, except for when it hasn't been a problem yet. Oh, wait. And then it was a problem.
Right. So that's the news from Florida. Sinkholes.
Ugh. And the story you've been hearing all about, I'm sure, all morning. The bomb count and the bombings. The bomb count right now, we'll just start there. We're up to 10.
Which 10 is what?
10 bombs around the New York City metropolitan area. We have the one that blew up on 23rd Street, the one that was found on 27th and 7th, three along a 5K route in New Jersey, and a backpack full of bombs. Oof. Yeah, and a backpack full of bombs. They're saying five that was found at the Elizabeth, New Jersey train station. And due to a series of kind of epic coincidences, there haven't actually been injuries aside from the bomb that went off in Chelsea. The 5K race was delayed. The start was delayed, meaning that the runners weren't actually at the point at which the bombs were, that they or the bombs went off. The police found this second bomb in the city before it went off. And then as for the backpack bombs in Elizabeth, New Jersey, here's actually a really interesting quote from the mayor, courtesy of the New York Times, sort of laying out how these things tend to go.
Two gentlemen were walking on the corner of North Broad Street and Julian Place, and they noticed a package in a wastebasket. They took the package out of the wastebasket because they thought it was of some value to them, walked under the arch or the railroad trestle, around the corner near an SUV, saw wires and a pipe, dropped the package, thought it was no good, went to police headquarters to notify the Elizabeth police of what they just found. The Elizabeth police responded, checked it out and looked at it, thought it could be a bomb, called the Union County Bomb Squad, who sent in a drone to examine it even further. The drone indicated that it could be suspicious and it could be a live bomb.
And it did turn out to be a live bomb, mm-hmm. or several live bombs. The robots that were brought in by the bomb squad accidentally detonated one of them. No one was hurt, although the robots were destroyed. And they took the other ones to the bomb analysis facility, which is, there's one in New York or just outside. And then there's the FBI's down in Virginia. Right. And so it's, of course, been a huge deal. What happened? Who was it? Why did they do it? Was it terrorist? Was it people who aren't terrorists who just are doing terrorist things because of the complex way in which we decide when what is or is not a terrorist situation? Right. And, you know, it's one of these cases where if you see something, say something, or if you steal something, say something. These guys were like, oh, look, it's a backpack. What's in this? Oh, shit, it's a bomb. If they hadn't done that and then called somebody, like, actually, who knows? The bomb was at the train station. That's where people are all the time, right? And then, of course, these bombs throughout, you know, along 23rd Street. And then, of course, if you were in the New York City area this morning, they, you know, of course, people have been working around the clock to try and figure this out. And then if you were in the New York City area this morning, we're sure you woke up to the alert, the wanted text message that everyone got. Wanted Ahmad Khan Rahmani, a 28-year-old male. See media for pic. Call 911 if seen. Period. And there are plenty of people who rightfully have gone off on the problematics of this. For a quick rundown, for those of you who just wanted the bullet points, there was no specification of what he looked like. Mm-hmm. There was no idea of where he might be. Just a name and an incredibly common Muslim name, right? Mm-hmm. Ahmad Rahmani. Ahmad Rahami. Mm-hmm. That's,
yeah.
Ahmad is basically like Joe, right? Rahami is also very common. And so it's just Islamophobia at its very worst, empowering no one to do anything except to look for a guy. And if they look at a picture, hopefully match someone, right? And, you know, news is just in. And when I say just in, I mean, as we were doing the sound check for the show, it came in that he has been arrested, that there was a shootout with the police, that he did get he was captured, from what I'm reading, a little bit unclear if he was alive or not. It looks like he was shot more than once. It looks like an officer was shot more than once. Given what we know about the police these days, it's hard to imagine he wasn't shot, right? It seems like only a few go and shoot up a church and you're white, are you allowed to actually be taken by the police alive? Not to, you know, I don't even know what to say aside from that, right? I'm sure he's been shot. You know, quotes are coming in now saying there was lots of gunfire. It was in Linden, New Jersey. You know, he was identified in surveillance video. Who knows if we know what'll happen here? And so from here, I'm sure the case is going to go. I'm sure every person on the internet who is sitting, probably you even listening, sitting around a computer is Googling the crap out of him, trying to find out any little facts. You know, and I just want to say this. And I've cautioned myself in saying this because there's a part of me, you know, I decided not to stand next to a trash can when I was making my subway transfer this morning through Manhattan. And it's hard not to look at this and feel a little bit scared. I think even if you're like, yeah, New York, whatever, it's fine. But this is, they put out a manhunt when they sent out that text message. And it seems like, for as of right now, the evidence is pretty solid. But manhunts like this just don't work. So, like, usually, if everyone is pursuing someone, they find that person eventually. But it's police work as often as any kind of civilian tip, for the most part. And when those tips happen, it's not because you send out a name and an age. It's the kind of thing, it's like when they send out those Amber Alerts and they're like, look for a gray Nissan Sentra with this license plate. It's something concrete, right? If you go back, and it's actually very hard to find a lot of data, as you can probably imagine, on the people who get brought in on these kind of things that aren't actually ended up to be with the crime, right? There's a case in California where people got shot at for being in the wrong car. These newspaper carriers were driving a truck similar to the truck the police were looking for, and the police ended up shooting at them. Mm-hmm. There's a case, if you look back at the Boston Marathon, where those two kids were put on the cover of the New York Post for being brown and having backpacks, right? And note that the bombers in the Boston Marathon they were light-skinned. They were ultimately very light-skinned, and the kids that were getting harassed and the people who were being set up were basically darker-skinned and carrying backpacks along the Boston Marathon route. And it's, you know, you look even at the things like the DC, like the big DC sniper stuff, the O's, if you try and track down when they look, if you look at where people found leads, it's, oh, there was a car that was similar. Oh, there was this that was similar. And even when the police had that data, they didn't catch the car initially that was ultimately the car they caught. And when someone finally did call in a tip, it was because the car was there, right? There's something concrete. You can't just expect people are going to say, oh, there's this guy with this name and find anything useful at all. It's just going to freak people out. It's just going to lead to people being harassed. You know, even with a photo, it's not, you know, like at the end of the day, like what does it mean to the people who are actually being stuck? Over and over again, it means this kid, you know, who was on the cover of the New York Post, he was a 17-year-old high school student. He ended up getting a huge settlement from the Post, rightfully, for saying, like, what the fuck was that? Like, Reddit came up with this. Mm-hmm. Like, and so we'll see what happens with him in custody. If he's alive right now, we don't know. I'm certainly not cheering for him to, you know, get a parade and sent home necessarily, but I, you know, how do we stay suspicious or not, you know, how do we made to be suspicious, you know, in these moments?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I think was really disturbing about the text message alert is this idea that we are on the side or whatever of like the police, that like that just texting every single New Yorker that everyone, whether you wanted, but is that how it worked? Was it everyone got the text message, or do you know? Is it if you opted into alerts or what?
My understanding is this is on this police cell phone network thing.
Right.
Where it's the same way that we get like hurricane alerts or Amber alerts. They just send them to people. I don't even know if you can opt out. I thought I had opted out, but I still get this stuff.
Right, right. So this idea that, like, first of all, the fact that there's a police text alert where they can just text your phone, and the fact that you want to get texted by the police and that you want to participate in this. It's like involuntary participation in this like racist, you know, profiling of people. I think is just ridiculous and such extreme like overreach. And also just the like people cannot be trusted with that type of information, and like this is not like safe. Like this is actually, I feel like, a very unsafe thing to do for many people in New York, many of whom appear to be Muslim, are Muslim. It's just, it's like feels really irresponsible and actually just would cause like more danger and violence.
Yeah.
So no way, thumbs down on that.
Exactly. And I guess what I, to respond or to think through about that is there's this whole, if you see something, say something, right? Ugh. If you see something, and for, you know, if you see something that might be a bomb, you should probably call people who know what to do with bombs, who are right now, for the most part, the police, right? Like, that would be one thing where I'm like, yes, get a lot of training, bring in some robots, that kind of thing for a bomb. But what about all of the things where it is not police-based? If you see something, say something, right? Like, how do we take that idea?
Also, what is something? See what?
Exactly.
See something. I mean, it's interesting that how
a brown person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what are we talking about? Like, who is doing the looking? Who is doing the seeing? Who is the person who is seen? You know, it's interesting that to talk about this in relation to the other case about George Zimmerman, you know, he was basically doing this like neighborhood watch of see, say thing. And this is what happened. You know, he shot a unarmed 17-year-old kid. I just think see something, say something is so unbelievably racist and just like so messed up.
And yeah. And how do we, if it's going to be like that, it's not, how can it not be about, like, I believe you should be able to be involved in your community. You should look around, and when you see something wrong, say something. But you should say something. Like, how often do we see things, or do you hear stories about people seeing things just on the train, or like this kind of harassment, and people say, oh, I don't know what to do. How do we give ourselves options for things that are not bombs, where I don't know what to do with a bomb, I assure you. But in the interpersonal things we actually have the skills for, like, how do we become connected members of our community? Mm-hmm. Right? And
can I share a quote?
Please do. Please do.
So this is a very beautiful poster that maybe we can post on our thing that just shows, like, a neighborhood stoop. And it says, I don't watch my neighbors. I see them. We make our community safer together. So that actually the people in your community are not to be watched. They're to be worked with and talked to. That's it.
Wow. All right. Oh, and more news is in. He is alive. Rahami was alive. He's in custody and being loaded into an ambulance. He was ID'd based on the cell phone that was on the pressure cooker, as well as fingerprints that were on the device. So we'll see what happens with this. We'll see what happens. And hopefully it's, I don't even know what to hope for.
Hopefully it's level-headed, and hopefully it doesn't incite a lot of violence in this city and in this country and in this world.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're right.
So we are going to take a little bit of a break, and we are going to go back into the world of lightness. Light
take a deep
news.
Breath in.
Light
Let it
news.
Out.
Yay! And we are going to be hearing some songs today that have to do with the fact that it is pouring rain outside. So this first one, you got it all?
Oh, we're ready.
All right. Can't stand the rain.
I can't stand the rain.
But I need somebody who will stand by.
Back. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The World is a Terrible Place, bringing you the very best and the very worst every Monday from 12 to 1 p.m. right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Ariel Speedwagon.
I am Cassie Wagler.
And we're so happy to have you with us this terrible, terrible day.
So
now,
bad.
Here's a little update in a less terrible thing from Radio Free Brooklyn, that we are inviting everyone to join us in celebrating National Public Lands Day with a family-friendly volunteer cleanup fighting beach garbage, which is pretty much something I think everyone can get behind. On Saturday, September 24th at 10 a.m., that's this Saturday, join NYC H2O and Radio Free Brooklyn at Plum Beach to protect precious marine habitat and salt marsh. And now after the cleanup, naturalist Mickey Cohen will lead a hands-on marine ecology adventure, and volunteers will get to see Jamaica Bay creatures up close. So to sign up for this Plum Beach cleanup, visit our website at nych2o.org. That's nych2o, the letter, it looks like the letter O, .org. Plum Beach is located at exit 9 off the Belt Parkway on Jamaica Bay. And that is probably the least terrible thing we will talk about here today.
Excellent.
Beach cleanups. I bet there's a horseshoe crab.
Fun.
I bet there's a duck or a seabird in there.
I love a seabird.
I love a seabird too. So that's, you can also, one other thing that we're trying to say is we're trying to raise a little bit of money here at the station before we go into our next season. We're just expanding into the space upstairs with more recording space. We'll have space for shows and space for podcasting. So if you love radio, you love community-based radio, you should go to our website and donate. That's radiofreebrooklyn.com. You can hear, see archives of the show, all kinds of things. There's a big link to donate some money, and we recommend that you do that. So please support the show. We're very excited to be here on the station every week, and we're ready to come back with a little bit of election news. Are we?
Let's do it.
All right.
It's a bird. It's a man. It's a lovely girl. It's Florida.
All right, this is Florida election news. Now, you may know or probably don't know that I'm a teacher. I teach young adults. And, you know, college is great for people who want to do it, but, you know, you can also go into a lot of debt. So, you know, maybe, you know, it's not, you know, if you don't want to go to college. But, you know, I always tell my students, if you are going to go to college, there's really only one place to consider.
At Trump University, we teach success. That's what it's all about, success. It's going to happen to you. I think the biggest step towards success is going to be sign up at Trump University.
That's right. Trump University slogan. We're going to teach you about a lot of different things. A lot of different things. Trump University is now defunct after many lawsuits. But during its years of operation, which was from 2005 to 2010, it fucked over a lot of people. People thought that they would be meeting Donald Trump or maybe even be taught by Donald Trump in ads. This is a literal commercial for Donald Trump, Trump University. In the ads, Donald Trump said that he handpicked instructors, and he later admitted that he was not involved in hiring or picking instructors. People lost lots of money and found that this so-called education they received was largely useless. It was unaccredited place, and they kept like pushing people to, you know, buy more things, sign up for more things, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So many people filed complaints against Trump University, including 22 complaints that were filed with the Attorney General's office in Florida. And this is where things get really, really fun. So the Attorney General's office in Florida never investigated Trump University, and they also chose not to join a class action lawsuit jointly with the state of New York. They are on record as saying that 20 complaints would not warrant an investigation. However, they've been asked about this for years and years and years. What about this? What about this? What about this? Another fact. Ready for fact number two?
Yes.
The current Attorney General, Pam Bondi, is friends with Donald Trump, endorsed him for president after Jeb Bush dropped out, and solicited and received a donation of $25,000 for her reelection campaign for attorney general. Interesting. So news outlets have been, I've seen a lot of like timelines, like was the check written before she said that they weren't going to investigate? So then she also announced we're not going to join the New York State class action lawsuit. So the speculation of, you know, was the check signed before or after, blah, 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 blah. And this is very important. This timing of it is important for like legal concerns in terms of like establishing corruption. Did corruption occur?
Like an actual, here's money for you doing this.
Exactly. But, you know, and that hasn't been totally established. But what's abundantly clear is that they're friends and they're helping each other out. And that, you know, Donald Trump, you know, threw a fundraising dinner for her at his hotel in Mar-a-Lago. And she's not about to be investigating his business. What's also true is that Trump is very, you know, upfront about why he donates to political campaigns. Here he is at a Republican primary debate on August 5th, 2015.
I've also donated to several Democratic candidates, Hillary Clinton included, Nancy Pelosi. You explained away those donations, saying you did that to get business-related favors. And you said recently, quote, when you give, they do whatever the hell you want them to do.
You better believe it.
So what specifically did they do?
If I ask them, if I need them, you know, most of the people on this stage I've given to, just so you understand. I give to many people. Before this, before 2 months ago, I was a businessman. I give to everybody. When they call, I give. And you know what? When I need something from them, 2 years later, 3 years later, I call them. They are there for me.
All right. Super duper. So he's given. Bondi's taken. No one's investigating except for New York. It's very good.
Preet. Is that Preet or
no? It's not Preet. It's Eric.
I love Preet.
Yeah, I love Preet.
Eric's cool too.
Eric's pretty good. So that's super fun. But there is another little side story kind of buried in here that's breaking news today on this show. Okay. I am basically.
Take that, Amy Goodman.
I am a detective. Okay. And I'm doing really good detective work. All right. I'm going to try to see, Arielle, if you can pick out the story from these two little lines from different newspaper articles. So this is from a September 17th article in the Miami Herald. Okay, and this is referring to someone who had made a complaint, whose name is Jacobson, made a complaint about Trump University. Bondi, this is Attorney General, like the person before her, who was the Attorney General, referred Jacobson to the New York Attorney General's office, which at the time was starting to investigate Trump University. He could also hire a private lawyer or surf the web for guidance. Quote, I encourage you to visit an internet engine site such as http://www.yahoo.com, Carmen James, a staffer in the Office of Citizen Services, told Jacobson. Okay, that's line number one.
Okay.
Okay, here is number two. This is from a September 15th article in the New York Times. In the weeks after the initial September 2013 article in The Sentinel, Ms. Bondi received daily emails from her staff to her personal Yahoo address with news reports about the Trump case. Now, what is the connection between these two stories? Can you spot the connection?
I see Yahoo.
Yahoo! Yahoo email. Oh, Yahoo as a server and Yahoo as an email. Now, what gives? What is up with that? The literal attorney general's office is referring people to the search engine Yahoo. Okay. And at the same time, Bondi has a personal Yahoo email address. What gives? What is the investment in Yahoo? I don't know.
Damn.
I don't have an answer to this.
That could have been quite wow.
That would be great. I wish that there was. I don't know what the thing is. But I was just a little bit interested because Sarah Palin has also had a Yahoo personal email related controversy. So there is something here with the Yahoo.
And also the personal emails. All of these elected personal officials emails. Like throwing they things their public things emails. So they can't be subpoenaed as easily.
They love it. So this kind of took me down a rabbit trail into Yahoo email. You know, does Yahoo email lead to corruption is my question. You know, are public officials who use Yahoo, you know, 10, 20, 30 times more likely to accept checks from Donald Trump? Or what is the motivation for using Yahoo email? So I did a poll of my friends who use Yahoo email to ask, you know, what is your reason for using Yahoo email? Is it because you're receiving, you know, campaign donations or what gifts?
Graft.
Right. And here's a smattering of what I got from my friends. I think my mom still uses Yahoo, number one. Number two, I have this belief, maybe misguided, but I don't know, that the magic that makes the big G, Google, an especially effective search engine also makes it especially creepy when that thoroughness is turned onto my illusions of privacy in my email. I feel ever so slightly outside, aka free, of the system by not having the giant all up in my email. Interesting. And then the last one, I noticed that you can use cute stationery patterns with Yahoo. I haven't actually done it, again, too lazy, but my mom has. So two mentions of mom and one mention of the fact that we don't need Google all up in our shit all the time. That is the situation with the Yahoo. So I wanted to just like pose this question to our listeners. Do you use Yahoo email? Are you following the footsteps of Pam Bondi and Sarah Palin and my friends, Abby and Kyla and Hannah? And if they wanted to visit our Tumblr, maybe they could tell us about why they use Yahoo email.
Oh, it's true. You could, there's an ask a question. If you go to theworldisaterribleplace.com, yeah, there's ask us. A question. We would love to know.
Tell us about your use of Yahoo email. And again, I should say that I'm not opposed to Yahoo email. I should disclose that someone who I'm very close to does work for the Google, and I am not in favor of the way that Google has taken over our entire world, and so I'm not trying to make fun of the Yahoo. However, Yahoo is kind of a dumb site and old and sort of like aesthetically awful. I will say that.
I remember when Yahoo was the cutting edge in the first search engine.
And I mean, it was. It was very early.
And it was super, I could like recite, it was like search.yahoo.com/p equals question mark and then what you want to search for, because that was how cool it was. It was right. The first time the internet was largely searchable,
right?
Versus these like narrower searches that you could do kind of if you knew where you were going,
right? No, totally. But it has kind of become like this like punchline. Like if somebody has a Yahoo email address, I'm sort of like, oh, you haven't changed that for like 20 years, have you?
It's true.
You know, which maybe that's okay. But again, you know, two references to moms. Yeah. So I'd be very curious from our listeners. Do you use the Yahoo email?
I don't. I think I went from. Let's see. I think I had email through a internet provider, but not like a dial-up internet provider.
Mm-hmm.
There was no graphics involved. I think my first graphical email was, it was Hotmail.
Love Hotmail.
And then I think I skipped Yahoo and went to another sort of alternate provider that I still use as kind of my spam sign-up email.
Rise Up?
No, I'm very speedy. Which is fastmail.fm. It's Australian. It was super good. Oh, it was cool. Free for a long time. And I have this grandfathered account. I've probably had it for 15 years.
Cool.
And then to the G.
To the G.
The big G, which is kind of an organizing principle in my life, to be honest.
Yeah, it's true.
What about you? Did you?
I started with AngelFire.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and my email was hackercast@angelfire.com.
Yeah, it was.
So that's pretty cool. And then, oh God, I don't know. I don't know what I did in the interim. I think I had used my university email. you know, and then I switched over to the big G.
Well, so we're sort of both that generation where email happened in college.
Yeah. Well, I got my first email actually in, I would say, middle school or maybe early high school in Angel Fire.
But... Yeah, I had this weird BBS email sort of in the same time, but it wasn't really, it didn't really pop off for me until college for the most part.
Gotcha. So that is the news from Florida, from the Yahoo email, from all things Pam Bondi. And now I think we have a little weather update from our resident meteorologist.
Rain, snow, sun, ice, weather fashion helper.
Well, I hope you've got your cutest little rain shoes on because the next couple of days it is rain, rain, go away. With temperatures remaining in the high 70s and the low 80s, we are here to remind you that shorts, a sweater, and galoshes are a fine look. And to encourage you to take this moment to get a cute umbrella for somewhere because you know from fall, it's just going to keep going. And don't hate yourself. Don't be another black umbrella in the crowd. Go find something fun. But don't worry, friends. We have a few more days of sunshine left. Starting Wednesday, we're in the run of late summer, early fall. The highs, mid-70s or low 80s, but just sunny. Not so humid, not so sweaty. And the lows all the way down into the high 50s to cool it off at night. We're officially back to bring a jacket season. Have something for your shoulders at night, and it's time to start reconsidering pants if that's what you're up to. And we're just going to let you know now, it's time. Not yet, but soon.
For what?
To start considering the S-W-E-A-T-E-R.
Sweater weather.
Sweater weather. It's coming. So what colors, what patterns, what's in touch for the fall? You just keep listening. Here on Weather Fashion Helper, we'll give you everything you need to know.
Beautiful. That's too bad it's going to be raining, but we have another great song to hear about the rain as we are coming to the end of our show.
Exactly. And hold on there, folks. Hold on to this week. It's going to be quite a run. I imagine there's going to be a lot happening in the news. I imagine there's going to be a lot more terrible things. But we'll be here for you the whole way through.
Yes.
This is another classic. You did excellent work today.
Thank you. Thank you. Milli Vanilli, Blame It on the Rain.
God bless them.
Yes. it on the rain. What can you blame on the rain? What does rain make you do?
Oh, wow. I mean, growing up in Seattle, you just kind of... Everything. It's just kind of everything. I feel like, honestly, the fact I just gave a weather tip about an umbrella is truly proof that I've jumped coasts.
Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah. I can blame the rain on just like endless napping and endless snacking, which is what I'm going to do as soon as this is over. But next up, there is Amy Goodman. Tune into her. She is a genius. And also she is, you know, right now facing this situation where she got a warrant against her and the media is getting called out for not really adequately supporting her. So...
Oh, Amy, it must
love
be
to
hard.
Amy. Thank you for listening to The World is a Terrible Place. This is Cassie Wagler.
This is Ariel Speedwagon.
And Ariel, do you have any more updates you want to leave us with?
You know, I just have one last thought I'd like to dedicate to the weather this night. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
See you next week. Mwah.
Mwah. I'm only happy when it rains.